I have just two verses I want you to read, which are in Romans chapter 15, they are verses 26 and 27. They concern the collection that Paul had taken up among some of the Gentile churches, and he was taking this to Jerusalem to help the poor Christians. The word that I want you to notice is the word sharing. Sometimes in different versions it might be translated as having a part in, or being partners with, or partaking of. But all of these words come from the same basic root. There is another verse that I'm going to read to you before I read the ones in Romans, and this is in 2 Corinthians 8:4, where he speaks again concerning this collection made for the Christians in Jerusalem. He says that they begged us, the churches of Macedonia begged us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. In Romans 15:26-27, Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they are in debt to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. Taking part in it, sharing in it, the same thing. Sharing is, of course, a very popular word today. I heard someone recently, and he wanted to share the announcements with people. It's a funny thing to share, but it's an in word. People are always sharing something. And when they talk about sharing something, they normally mean it in the sense of sharing it around. A popular understanding is we get together, we enjoy each other's company, and we share our thoughts, we talk to each other. That is not the biblical understanding of the word sharing. The biblical notion of sharing is where you share in something, you participate in something. If I can just give an illustration to show the difference, if we're sitting around a table and somebody picks up a plate of biscuits or something and you pass it around and each one takes something, you share it around. That is not what the Bible idea is. It's not a case of sharing something around. It's more like sitting at a table and there's a big bowl of soup in the middle of the table, that's the only thing there, and we all share in it. We dive into this and we take out a spoonful and put it in our plate. We are sharing jointly in something that is common to all of us there. The best illustration of this is in the well-known verse in Corinthians 10:16, where it says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?" A sharing in the blood of Christ in some versions. "The bread which we break, is it not a sharing or a participation in the body of Christ?" We are participating in, we are sharing in something that we hold in common. Because there is one bread, and we who are many are one body, we all partake of the one bread. We're sharing in the common bread, the one loaf in this case. This word is used quite commonly through the New Testament. We are united with Christ. We share in one body. We share in the blood of Christ. We are united in him, and therefore we share in him. This is an expression that we find scattered through the New Testament. Sharing in him. In Hebrews it says something like this. We share in Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. We have fellowship. That's another word that comes into this group. We have fellowship with the Father, we are told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We have fellowship with the Father and we have fellowship with the Son. And at the end of Corinthians, second book, we are told we have fellowship with the Spirit. And so we have this fellowship or communion or sharing or participation in the thing that we have in common. And the thing that we hold in common is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the person we hold in common. We share in a new life. We are partakers of the heavenly nature, we are told in 2 Peter chapter 1. That again is the same notion. Something that all of us are partaking of, something we hold in common. Now if this is true of individual Christians, in other words, each of us partaking of him, sharing in him, if it's true of each of us, then when we do anything jointly, it is, of course, true of us jointly, and so that now is the true sharing. Sharing in something we hold in common. having fellowship with God, having fellowship with the Son, having fellowship with the Father, drawn to Him. And as we are drawn to Him, then we are going to be drawn to each other. Now that, I believe, is the biblical notion of communion, the biblical notion of fellowship. But I'm not knocking the way we use the word fellowship as a get-together, things we want to talk about, we share our thoughts and so on. All I'm saying is that we want to get deeper than that, because as we are joined to Christ, we are sharing in Him in a specific way. There is one bread, there is one body, we all partake of one bread. That is the biblical understanding of sharing, the biblical understanding of fellowship. That is what fellowship really is. But sin, of course, can spoil the fellowship with God. We are told in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't live according to the truth. So the fellowship that we profess to have is not as good as we thought. We're in fact deceiving ourselves. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here again, the notion is one of having fellowship with God because of the eternal life that we jointly share in Him. Sin can spoil it, but the sins that we all commit that we're unaware of, these are somehow not going to spoil it if we are walking in the light as He is in the light. If, of course, we are aware of sin, as it says in the next verse, then we confess that sin. And God is faithful and just to forgive us that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we not only share in this life, we share in blessings and we share in sufferings. We're getting on to things now that we normally don't like to think about too much. Paul says in Philippians 3, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection, we like that bit, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And that's something we don't often talk about. In fact, when people think they're somehow sharing in the sufferings of Christ, they think it's a bit unfair. One of God's people, He ought not to let this happen to me. And so suffering is not something we really want to talk about very much. But it is one of the truths that we must be aware of. If we are united with Christ, if we are part and parcel of Him, if we are joined to Him in fellowship and communion, then we are going to participate in the sufferings of Christ as well as the eternal life we receive from Him. In Peter 4, Peter says this, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. That is reflected also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul speaks about sharing his death and sharing his life. If we're going to share the glory, we must first of all share the suffering. Here Peter is saying the same thing, and a couple of pages or a page or a chapter or so further over, Peter talks about being partakers in the glory that is to follow. Now all of these are the same word, sharing in, partaking in, being participants in, having communion with, having fellowship with. Of course, there is the prospect of sharing the glory to come. But we must not focus on sharing the glory without being aware that we must first of all share in His sufferings. One of the things that I observe in Western society is that people are not prepared to share in the sufferings of Christ, because somehow our society has administered a fairly good lifestyle for us, and the government picks us up whenever we fall over and provides all sorts of benefits, and so we believe that we should be exempt from suffering. We should be immune to these afflictions. People in other countries suffer them, and we may feel sorry for them. We think that these things ought not to be our lot. Well, I'm afraid that's one of the things that makes us very weak as Christians in this land, because we've made the wrong assumptions and we've forgotten what it is to be identified with Christ and to realize that we share His sufferings as much as we share in the blessings that His salvation brings. One other thing I want to bring out here, the common objectives. The word common also comes back to the same root idea of sharing or participating in. We have fellowship with one another in something. We share in something. So the sharing is with each other in something. All of us together, jointly, sharing in a person or sharing in a thing. That thing we hold as a common possession. It's a little bit like the beginning of Acts, where they had all things in common and they shared in these things that they held in common. Now you and I have a lot of things that we hold in common. In Titus chapter 1 it says we share in a common faith. In Jude, the third verse of Jude, it tells us that we have a common salvation. All of us participating in this thing we hold together. We share in common sufferings. Our hope for you is unshaken, says Paul to the Corinthians, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Here are people identified with Paul and sharing in. Do you notice that all of these verses are saying you share in something? I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus, the tribulation and the kingdom, and the patience and the endurance. That's what he says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. We share in the gospel. Paul in Philippians chapter 1 says, we are thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They had supported him. This was true sharing, this is true fellowship as they participated together in this ministry. Which brings me to the verses we read at the beginning. We share in certain blessings. In the case of the Romans, he says you share in their spiritual blessings because salvation was of the Jews. You got salvation through the Jews. Now that they are in financial difficulties, you ought to reciprocate, you ought to respond because you have shared in their spiritual blessings. You ought now to give them something by way of response in material blessings. Serve them also in material blessings. And if people were inclined to think this was a bit rough, he reminds them of the poor Christians in Macedonia who actually begged them to have a share in this work. And so what he's trying to do, of course, is to round up all these Gentile churches and make them feel part of the mother church, if I can use that expression, in Jerusalem. Because the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering very much. Now he said, if you can collect this money and take these goods to them, you can share in their spiritual life, share in their suffering, so to speak, by sharing this burden with them. He had another motive, I believe, and that was to help unite Jerusalem with the Gentile churches, because the Jews were not really very charitable towards their Gentile brothers and sisters. They're very suspicious of them. In fact, they're very suspicious of Paul. And Paul, no doubt, had great hopes that when he went to Jerusalem with his bag of money and representatives from the churches, that they would be softened and they would see the fellowship that they enjoy with their Gentile brothers and sisters, that all of them are participating in one person, Christ, in one thing, the church, in one body. And so that this might be a true sharing in the gospel. And because this is a missionary conference and we're at the end of a long day when we've thought about many things and talked about many things, I want to now focus on this aspect of sharing of our material goods with other people. We are sharing with them in the gospel, and we are be part and parcel of them, not simply through prayer, but through coming good with our money, with our wherewithal, getting rid of some of the blessings that God has given to us by imparting them to others. This is a partnership. It's a sharing, it's a joint participation in a common project, which is the advance of the gospel. Paul was thankful to the Philippians that they had been partners with him. They had shared with him in this project right through to the time that he was actually writing that letter. I'd like to pass on a suggestion, because this is what we've done in our church at Murarrie. As you know, it's a fairly new church. It's built almost entirely of converts from the area, as we've reached out over the last few years, taking the gospel to those who hadn't heard it and building a church out of people who previously had no association with church. And so these are largely new converts. But one of the things that we really want in that church is for people to be good givers. We want them also to feel part of the wider body of Christ, which doesn't just mean the other churches in the Brethren system or other churches in our locality, but the wider church around the world and the whole activity of the church. so that they might realize what that participation is that we read of in 1 Corinthians 10:16, of participating in this one body, the life of the body. It's going to be costly, of course. It's costly to us in terms of our convenience. It may be costly in terms of suffering persecution, not in this country perhaps, but certainly in some countries. It may be inconvenient for us to have to give sacrificially, but we want to be outward looking. We don't want to keep our blessings for ourselves. We don't just want to sit around in a little group and saying, well, this is my experience, as if somehow we're becoming just wrapped up with each other, sharing, if I can use that expression in the popular sense today, sharing with each other this experience and that experience. Now, there may be a place for that, but if we're not careful, it can become very selfish, it can become very shallow, it can become very me-centered, all centered on me and my experience. I want the sharing to be a sharing in something big, in something wider, something concerning the whole body of Christ. But at the same time, I want it to be balanced. I've tried to work out a way of balancing various aspects of our giving. And I want the church to be a giving church. And praise the Lord, it is a giving church. Spends very little on itself and gives very generously to lots of people and causes in different places. But this is the balance that I wanted to strike. I want a balance between evangelistic activity and the welfare aid type ministries. Now, you will be aware that some places are very big on evangelistic activity and have nothing to say about the physical needs of people. Now, Paul obviously was big on evangelism, but here he is interested in the physical needs of people, providing money and food for the hungry. I want that balance. Other places, of course, are very aware of their social responsibilities and are big when it comes to giving to welfare and aid programs, but they're fairly weak when it comes to the evangelistic ministries of the church. I want a balance between evangelistic and welfare-style activities. That's the first balance. I've got four of these. The second balance is between overseas and home. Sometimes people's price go up. If a person becomes an overseas missionary, he tends to get a bit better treated than a person who maybe is a missionary at home in his own country. It's not as glamorous or doesn't attract as much attention. And then, of course, sometimes it's the other way around. Some people have no vision outside their own backyard, and they don't seem to have any interest in overseas projects. So I want a balance between overseas and home. That's the second point. The third point is a balance between organizations and individuals. Some people are quite impersonal the way they give. They just shunt off their money to some distribution agency, or they give it to some organization. It could be the Bible Society, it could be Mission to the Blind, or Mission to Lepers, or some organization that's doing great work for God in one way or another. And then, of course, you have other people who never give anything to organizations. They only give to individuals. Of course, you've got some people who don't give anything to anybody except a few coins they drop into the bag on Sunday morning. But I'm being generous here in assuming that Christians actually think about their giving. And so some give money to organizations, some give money to individuals. I want both. I want there to be a balance between the organizational type activity and the individual servants of God. That's the third. The fourth, I want a balance between national Christians in other countries and expatriate workers from here who've gone to other countries. This is where we have the greatest imbalance in our churches. Almost all the money that goes overseas goes to expatriate missionaries that we happen to know and who come from our country. And there are very few churches that seem to be involved with giving financial support to churches in other countries. Now, Paul wasn't slow to do it. He wanted churches to give support to churches in other countries, and I think we could do the same. So there's the balance. There are the four points, the four factors, or the four issues that I want to speak about. Well, I've spoken about them actually, because that's all I really want to say. Now, of course, there are eight actual things mentioned there. There are four items, and each of them has a balance between this one and that. That doesn't mean to say that we divide our church giving into eight categories. Otherwise, you may find that you're giving so little into each of these eight that it's not as good as you might have hoped. All I'm saying is we must think about these eight categories. Now, sometimes there'll be an overlapping. For example, A person may be in evangelistic ministry and also be an expatriate missionary at the same time. Or a person might be a national Christian in some sort of ministry that could be also a welfare ministry. Or there could be somebody as a home worker who happens also to be an evangelist. Or there could be an organization which is an evangelistic organization, or the organization could be a welfare organization. So you see what I'm saying? There is an overlapping. But when you look at all of these projects we have, we've got a number of them set out, as we go through them and we tick off, we can say, yes, we have all of these eight possibilities represented. We have both the evangelistic and the welfare ministries represented. We have both overseas and home ministries represented. We have both organizations and individuals who are receiving from us. We have both nationals and expatriate workers from this country who are receiving from us. We're having fellowship with these people. We are sharing with them in the gospel. We are partners with them. We are joint partakers with them. And in this way, we are part of the ministry that they're involved in. So that's the main point that I just want to leave with you out of this address on sharing. Because it is a missionary conference, and I hope that that focuses one aspect of our responsibility to world mission that we might give some thought to in our churches and as individuals. But I haven't finished my little talk here on sharing. I've just got a few things to say about items we ought not to share in. Once again, from the Bible. We ought to have no fellowship with the wrongdoing of another person. You know the quote in Timothy 5 where he says, don't lay hands suddenly on somebody, that is, don't appoint a person suddenly to an official position in the church, because he may have some skeletons in the cupboard and you don't want to share in another person's sins. In John, 2 John, he talks about people who went around with wrong teaching, and he said, don't give hospitality to these people, otherwise you will share in their wrongdoing. We don't want you to share in the wrongdoing of another person. So that's the first thing. Let's not share in that sort of behavior. The second thing I've got here, marriage with a non-believer. That's something that we should not share in. It's interesting when you read the section that we all know, of course, in 2 Corinthians 6, where Paul uses five words, five different words in my Bible anyway. Your version may have something different, but let me read this to you. He says, don't be mismated with unbelievers. For what partnership, that's the first word, partnership, have righteousness and iniquity? These are all words in the context of this talk that I'm giving now, the sharing partnership talk. Don't have partnership. Second one, what fellowship has light with darkness? That's his second word. The third word, what accord has Christ with Belial? The fourth word, what in common does the believer have with an unbeliever? And the fifth word, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? So all of those notions are tied up with the things we ought to have a sharing in and the things we ought not to have a sharing in. Partnership, fellowship, accord, in common, agreement. The third thing we're reminded of in Paul's writings that we ought not to have some sharing in is the food at idol feasts. Now that's a big discussion, of course, that he has going on through several chapters of 1 Corinthians, but he points out that by partaking of food that's been offered to idols, then you are in fact having some sort of fellowship with the idol, and I don't want that. And it's in that context that he quotes about having fellowship with Christ in the Lord's Supper. And again, taking food together there is a joint sharing in Christ. He said, I don't want you to have that same sort of sharing in an idol. The fourth point I want to mention here is not to share in anything that is sinful. In Ephesians chapter 5, take no part, have no share in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 18, he says, come out from among them, my people, lest you share in their plagues, share in their iniquity. A bit negative to finish on, but there it is. The things we ought to share in, the things we ought not to share in. But what's it all based on? It's based on our sharing in Christ, our sharing in the Father, in the Son, and in the Spirit. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, says John in his first letter, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And at the end of 2 Corinthians, not only fellowship with the Father and the Son, but also with the Spirit. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.